This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 8 1/2 after 6 on this Wednesday morning from WSMI FM 106. Time now for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield and by Farm Credit Illinois. Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. We'll start off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from yesterday. Corn for May was down a quarter to 361.5. July corn was down a quarter to 370.75, while September corn stayed steady at 379.25. May soybeans were up 4.5 cents to $9 even. July beans were up 4.75 to 913.5. And August beans were up 4.75 as well at 919.5. Chicago wheat for May was up 1.25 cents to 464. July wheat was up 0.5 cent to 468.5. And September wheat was up a quarter to 476. Soybean meal for May was up $1.20 to $3.10.60. July bean meal was up $1.30 to $3.14.20. And August bean meal was up $1.10 to $3.15.70. Finally, soybean oil for May was up 39 cents to $28.96. July bean oil was up 39 cents as well to $29.29. And August bean oil was up 38 cents to $29.44. And now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain reports.
This is Tuesday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mostly higher on Tuesday afternoon. In northern western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids a penny lower at 319 to 346. Soybean bids are up 4 cents at 808 to 858. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to 2 cents higher at 331 to 346, while soybean bids were up 5 cents at 836 to 862. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 2 cents higher at 329 to 360. Soybean bids are up 4 cents at 833 to 864. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 5 to 8 cents higher at 865 to 880. Basis is steady to up 3 at 3500 to 20 under the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 288.60 to $300.60 a ton, up $1.20 a ton, with basis unchanged at 2200 to 10 under the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were steadied up 2 cents at 347 to 361, with basis steady to up 2 at 15 under to 1 under the May. Illinois river barge loading elevators coated to producer corn bids mostly steady at 350 to 356, with basis unchanged at 12 under to 16 under the May. Soybeans ended up 2 to 5 cents at 849 to 855. Basis was steady to down 3 at 51 under to 45 under the May. New crop wheat prices were up a penny at 439 to 459, with basis unchanged to 30 under to 10 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal always placed their producer corn bids 1 to 2 cents lower at 373 to 374. Their soybean prices were steady to 3 cents higher. Quotations at 872 to 876. Soft wheat closed up 1 to 5 cents at 495 to 496. Milo ended the day steady at 381 to 382. Contract bids producers for October-November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 334 to 360, soybeans at 847 to 878. In the central part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 347 to 361, soybeans at 868 to 893. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at 325 to 365, soybeans at 859 to 890. And June-July wheat at 439 to 469. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle were up a dime yesterday to 126.27. June live cattle were up 17 cents to 119.65, while August live cattle gained a nickel to 126.25. April feeder cattle were down 60 cents to 144.85. May feeders lost $1.07 down to 147.80. And August feeder cattle were down $1.45 to 155.25. Finally, lean hogs for April were up $1.55 to $78.95. May lean hogs gained $3 to $84 a head. And June lean hogs were up $3 as well to $91.50. Now we'll move on to the U.S. and Illinois Departments of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Livestock Reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 25 cents higher in a range of $68 to $77 with a weighted average carcass price of $75.19. In the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow prices were firm with good demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at $29 to $33, 4 to 5 weighted at $31 to $36, 5 to 6 weighted at $34 to $39, and over 600 pounds $38 to $43. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices for barrels and gelts country combined points were firm, with good demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $46 to $55. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gelts have totaled $20,102. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers on live basis traded at $128. And from the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established, with 257 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $82.15, which is 82 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout, pork values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses are $226.84, which is 80 cents higher, while select carcasses were $219.33, which is 44 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 115,000. Compared to 119,000 last week and 103,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 476,000 compared to 474,000 last week and 318,000 1 year ago. A recap of Saturday, March 30th, Greenville Livestock Auction Special Breeding Stock Sale had receipts of 367. Bred cows, medium and large, second stage young, 11 head, average weight 1,094 pounds at average price of $969.09. Bred cows, medium and large, second stage, middle-aged, 10 head, average weight of $1,124 at $670.96. Bred cows, large, first stage, young, 3 head at 1,118 pounds at $949.69. Bred cows, large, first stage, middle-aged, 11 head, 1,416 pounds, average weight, an average price of $962.90. Bred cows large, second and third stage young, 4 head at 1,134 pounds at $1,070.91. Bred cows large, third stage young, 14 head, average weight of 1,097 pounds with an average weight of $1,472.49. 34 head of bred cows large, third stage, middle-aged, 1,409 pounds, average weight, average price of $1,133.81. Cow-calf pairs large, ones and twos, young, 3 head at 1,142 pounds, average weight, with an average price of $1,615.33. Cow-calf pairs large, ones and twos, middle-aged, 8 head, with average weight of 1,406, with an average price of $1,502.91, and 15 head of tested 1 to 2 year old bulls, average weight of 1,341 pounds, with an average price of $1,400.25, and 3 head of tested 2 to 3 year old bulls, with average weight of 1,688. With an average price of $1,852.67. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield and by Farm Credit Illinois. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by CHS, farmer owned with global connections. By the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. And by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 19 locations to serve you. Now with part two of the Morning Ag Show, once again we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. There were more setbacks for U.S. producers this week on disaster aid and trade, but there were some hopeful developments as well. Billions in disaster aid, including for farmers and others hit by historic Midwest floods, failed to clear Senate procedural hurdles in a political spat over hurricane funding for Puerto Rico. Senate Finance Chair Chuck Grassley told farm reporters that Majority Leader Mitch McConnell would bring up a GOP version again. McConnell had this to say a day after failed votes on competing bills, including the Republican measure, happened.
For those in the path of last month's tornadoes in Alabama and Georgia, and for large swaths of the heartland still grappling with floodwaters. So I'm disappointed that political games carried the day, but I assure the American people our work on this subject is far from finished.
Ditto for the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade deal, which Finance Chair Grassley says he won't move through this committee until the president ends his steel and aluminum tariffs against Mexico and Canada, which holds elections in June.
It's just time until the president wakes up, and I don't know why it's taken him so long to realize he's got a victory at hand. Just take these tariffs off. They got to come off.
Grassley doubts the president's redeployment of custom agents from border ports of entry to deal with illegal crossings will further hurt the USMCA deal, but concedes it will hurt existing trade.
Common sense tells me that, but either way, it's affecting agriculture to some extent, or to a great extent, and the president ought to remember that one of his very positive things he's done is turn this economy around.
In the meantime, Grassley predicts a U.S. trade deal with China by an end of April deadline amid the fifth round of bargaining and progress on a host of thorny issues like currency manipulation, trade secret safeguards, and foreign investment reforms. In other ag news, a new study released this week from the USDA shows that greenhouse gas emissions from corn-based ethanol are 39% lower than regular gasoline. The study also shows that when ethanol is refined at natural gas-powered refineries, the greenhouse gas emissions are even lower, coming in at 43% less than gasoline. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue says the new findings provide even further evidence that biofuels from America's heartland reduce greenhouse gases even more than first thought. It also shows our farmers and ethanol plants continue to become more efficient and effective, Perdue says. Expanding the sale of E15 year-round will provide consumers with more choices when they fill up at the pump, including environmentally friendly fuel with decreased emissions. Perdue also says he appreciates Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Andrew Wheeler moving quickly to finalize the E15 rule before the start of the summer driving season. The study was published in the trade journal Biofuels, and it supports findings of other research that ethanol has significantly better greenhouse gas profiles than previously thought. And continuing in news about E15, the Environmental Protection Agency is accepting comments on a rule that would allow for the sales of year-round E15, a fuel blend with 15% ethanol. Michael Clemens reports.
Current rules block the sale of E15 during the summer months, restricting sales of E15 to 8 months out of the year. Growth Energy has been leading the charge for year-round E15 for several years. Growth Energy CEO Emily Score says the rule is good for consumers in rural America, as it will increase ethanol demand.
Finalizing this rule will represent a major step toward providing consumers with uninterrupted access to a cleaner, lower-cost option at the fuel pump. It's a critical milestone for rural Americans who rallied behind the president's promise to unleash the power of E15 to fuel our country all year long. And all told, when you eliminate this barrier, that will unlock, in the short term, 1.3 billion gallons of new ethanol demand by 2022. And over time, that additional demand could grow to 7 billion gallons a year. And that is lending an economic lifeline to rural families when we all know that they need it.
Growth Energy has been calling on EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler to get this rule over the finish line in time for the summer driving season, which starts June 1st. Score says she believes the EPA can meet that goal.
Well, you know, know, we believe that they can. EPA has been pretty vocal these past several weeks. They understand this is something that the president has directed them to do. We have been very active. We've had several conversations with the White House, with the administration. They've pledged to get this fix done by June 1, and so our expectation is that they will. But, you know, we need to keep the pressure on because farmers and biofuel producers cannot afford to be locked out of this key market for another season.
SCORE says the rule will allow more choice at the pump for consumers and allow for more retailers to offer E15.
Well, this fix that allows year-round sales of E15, it'll provide relief to more than 1,700 retail stations across 30 states. And it gives a clear path for new retailers to expand options at the pump. We know that there are retailers sitting on the sidelines. They want to sell E15, but they're waiting until they have the ability to do it year-round. We've worked with some of the top retail chains around the country, Come & Go, Sheetz, Quick Trip, and more, and we are confident that millions of additional consumers will have access to E15 once these outdated regulations are lifted.
The comment period on the rule is open now. She says it's important the industry and consumers show their support for the rule to the EPA.
Well, the EPA has to work quickly to get this rule finalized, and it's very important that they hear from rural Americans about how important this is. We actually have a website available. It's growthenergy.org/E15, where people can go on that website and they can provide their own comments direct to EPA. I encourage people to be involved in this process. The due date is April 29th, and it's very important that they hear from a wide array of people about why this is important to them, not only as rural Americans, but as consumers who want more affordable fuel every single day.
Again, submit comments to the EPA online at growthenergy.org/E15. Michael Clements reporting.
The Major League Baseball season is underway, and the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council say fans will chow down on more than 18 million hot dogs in ballparks this year. A survey by the organization found fans are expected to consume 18.3 million hot dogs throughout the season in U.S. ballparks. The Los Angeles Dodgers home, Dodger Stadium, tops the list with projected sales of 2.7 million hot dogs. Cubs fans at Wrigley Field in Chicago are the runner-up with projected sales of 1.2 million hot dogs. Meanwhile, the Dodgers' rivals up the coast, the San Francisco Giants fans, are expected to purchase 450,000 sausages, with Cubs fans not far behind at 400,000. As in past years, the Brewers' Miller Park is the sole MLB venue where sausage sales will outpace hot dogs. The National Hot Dog and Sausage Council was established in 1994 by the American Meat Institute and celebrates hot dogs and sausages as an iconic American food. Moving on to state ag news, we have the latest crop progress and condition report for last week. And for that, we'll turn it over to Mark Sloysener with the National Ag Statistics Service in Springfield.
Cold and wet weather limited days suitable for field work to an average of less than one day around the state last week. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 43% adequate and 57% surplus. Subsoil moisture was nearly the same at 48% adequate and 52% surplus. There were some limited attempts at field work last week, including spreading dry fertilizer and applying anhydrous ammonia. However, most parts of the state are too wet for field work, and some areas have standing water in fields as well as streams out of their banks. There was an average of 1.78 inches of rain around Illinois last week, which was nearly 9-tenths of an inch above normal. Northern areas were generally drier than the rest of the state, with rainfall totals between 1/2 and 3/4 of an inch. Temperatures range from 1 to 3 degrees below normal. Soil temperatures range from the mid-30s in northern areas to the lower 40s in southern parts of the state. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 4% very poor, 8 poor, 37 fair, 45 good, and 6% excellent. This has been Mark Sloysener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
And in local news, producers can apply for assistance through the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, or EQIP, to implement practices such as drainage water management, denitrifying bioreactors, saturated buffers, cover crops, nutrient management, and no-till operations. The project's focus is to improve water quality in the Upper Macoupin Creek watershed located in portions of Macoupin County. The NRCS RCPP funding is available to Macoupin County producers whose land is located in the upper Macoupin Creek watershed. To take advantage of this conservation funding opportunity, interested producers should submit applications by cutoff dates of April 19th and May 17th. However, the NRCS encourages producers to submit applications at any time to the NRCS Carlinville field office because they're accepted throughout the year. To apply, eligible producers should contact the NRCS Carlinville field office at 300 Carlinville Plaza by phone at 854-2626, extension 3. For this Wednesday morning, April 3rd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.
Thank you, Gabe, and it's coming up on 6:34 on this Wednesday morning, part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by the CNB Bank and Trust, with 19 locations to serve you, by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.